the power and sanctity of the Ark of the Covenant? This 35th episode of Signs and Secrets by host Mariana Barthold is a direct continuation of the previous episode, Fatima and the Mysteries of the Ark of the Covenant. In this talk, Mariana lists 12 comparisons between the Ark of the Covenant and Our Lady in the New Testament. 12 is certainly appropriate, as it is a scriptural number representing completeness. There are 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles to found the church, and 12 stars in the crown of Our Lady. Now, any one of these comparisons would be hard to call a coincidence, though scoffers of the faith do just that. They often fail to realize that the sacred author, for example, St. Luke, was fully aware of the Old Testament passage which his words evoked. It was intentional. Yet all 12 taken together, well, they simply can't be dismissed. They show a clear and certain intent by the Holy Ghost, the ultimate author of Scripture, to reveal this great mystery to us. A mystery so profound that we could never exhaust its unfathomable riches.
In this episode, I will be speaking on a dozen ways in which we can recognize how the Old Testament's Ark of the Covenant is a figure of the Virgin Mary, the true Ark of the New Covenant. As I said in the last episode, the Old Testament Ark still exists, but by God's command, it is hidden until the end times for its discovery and its final mission to be fulfilled, not only in itself, but also in its perfect archetype, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Dear listeners, hello and welcome. I'm Mariana Barthold, the host of Signs and Secrets, featured by the Fatima Center every week on Wednesday. I'm the author of Fatima, the Signs and Secrets, Guadalupe, Secrets of the Image, and I am the host of my own growing channel, Genesis 315. Thanks to the generosity of the Fatima Center, you will find in the description box various links to my works and to my channel. I will be giving the biblical references again to the Douay Rheims translation of the scriptures. Please pay special attention in case you want to take any notes, or of course you could always check it a second time. So let's continue. In these 12 comparisons, I will be first mentioning the Old Testament figure, and then, of course, the New Testament, Our Lady. The first, number one, in the Old Testament, henceforth called OT, the Ark, which was to be carried only by poles, as we read in Exodus 25, verses 12 through 15, was never to be directly touched by man, because it was made as the dwelling place for God. And we could read more about that in Numbers 4, 15, and 2 Kings, verses 6 through 7. The same OT prophesied the virgin who would conceive and bear a son in Isaiah 7, verse 14, who in the New Testament, henceforth called the NT, is revealed as Mary, as we read in Matthew 1, verse 2. Second, the OT relates, the cloud covered the tabernacle of the testimony, and the glory of the Lord filled it. We read that in Exodus 40, verse 32. In the NT, the Holy Ghost overshadowed the virgin, already full of grace, for it was by those words that Saint Gabriel the Archangel hailed her, and she conceived in her immaculate womb the Son of God made man, as we read in Luke 1, verse 35. Third, in the OT, the Ark contained the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod of wood, which later returned to life. And we will see these references in, for example, Exodus 25, verse 16, Deuteronomy 10, verses 1 through 2, and Hebrews 9, verse 4. In the NT, after the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, the Virgin contained Jesus, the living Word of God, who was the true high priest, the vine, who of his own free will was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again. For those references, please see John 15, verse 1, 15, verse 5, Matthew 20, verse 19, Mark 16, verse 6, and the Acts of the Apostles 4, verse 10. Fourth, in the OT, the ark was brought to the hill country of Judah, there to abide for 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom. We will read of that in 2 Kings 6, verse 11. But in the NT, the Virgin Mary traveled to the hill country of Judea. Notice the words there. They're almost exactly the same. To visit her cousin, Saint Elizabeth. And there she remained for 3 months, as we read in Luke 1, verse 42. Fifth, in the OT, King David, who was girded with a linen ephod, the priestly ephod, which was earlier mentioned in the previous episode when quoting the book of Exodus, approached the Ark of the Covenant, and he leapt for joy, as we read in 2 Kings 6, verses 14 and 15. In the NT, the unborn St. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb at the very voice of the Holy Mother of God and at the hidden presence of the incarnate God made man, Jesus Christ. We'll read of that in Luke 1, verse 43. Sixth, in the OT, specifically in 2 Kings 6, verse 9, we read, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day, saying, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" In the NT, specifically Luke 1, verses 2 through 43, we will read of Saint Elizabeth, who heard the Virgin's greeting and cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Seventh, in the OT we read, "And David and all the house of Israel brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with joyful shouting and with sound of trumpet." We read that in 2 Kings 6, verse 15. In the NT, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the infant left in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb," as we read in Luke 1, verses 41 through 42. Now, on an important note, St. Luke records that St. Elizabeth cried out with a loud voice, or in a variable translation, exclaimed with a loud voice. The apostle using the term anaphonio, and in no other place of the New Testament is found that term. But five times in the Old Testament, it does appear, and always in verses related to the Ark of the Covenant. Eighth, Obed-Edom and his house were blessed by the Ark's presence, as we read in 2 Kings 6, verse 11. The word blessed is four times exclaimed during the visitation, thrice by St. Elizabeth and once by the Virgin in her Magnificat, as we read in Luke 1, 42, 45, and 48. Ninth, for 3 months, the Ark of the Covenant, as I already said, resided in the house of Obed-Edom. Again, 2 Kings 6, verse 11. In the NT, the Virgin for 3 months remained in the house of her cousin, Saint Elizabeth, and her husband, Saint Zachary, as we read in Luke 1, verse 56. Tenth, in the Old Testament, the Ark was returned and later by King Solomon, who was accompanied by the princes and the people, placed in Jerusalem. There, the cloud, indicating the presence of the Most High, was revealed in the temple. And we read that in 2 Kings 6, verse 11, and 3 Kings 8, verses 1 through 10. In comparison, the Virgin Mary, the true Ark, after her 3 months with St. Elizabeth, returned to her home and abided with St. Joseph. After the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem, she and her holy spouse presented the Christ child to God in the temple of Jerusalem. As we read in Luke 1, verse 56, and Luke 2, verse 22. 11th, after commanding Moses to gather one rod, a hookless staff of wood, from all the princes of each tribe, and to inscribe each rod with the man's name, and to, quote, lay them up in the tabernacle of the covenant before the testimony, unquote, the Lord caused only the rod of Aaron, with 12 rods besides his, to bud, then to blossom, and finally to provide the fruit of almonds. We read about this in Numbers 17, verses 1 through 10. And on a side, but definitely related note to Fatima, we see the number 13, just as we see it with our Lord and his 12 apostles. Aaron was the high priest, but the Deuteronomy note also states this. This rod of Aaron, which thus miraculously brought forth fruit, was a figure of the Blessed Virgin conceiving and bringing forth her son without any prejudice to her virginity. In the NT, our Lord, the true high priest, gathered to himself 12 apostles, and he resurrected from the dead, as we read in Hebrews 4, verse 14, and of course other places of the Holy Bible. And once more, with our Lord and the apostles, we see the number 13. 12th, the OT prophet Jeremiah, being warned by God, commanded that the tabernacle and the ark should accompany him till he came forth to the mountain where Moses went up and saw the inheritance of God. And whence Jeremiah came thither, he found a hollow cave, and he carried in thither the tabernacle and the ark and the altar of incense, and so stopped the door. Then some of them that followed him came up to mark the place, but they could not find it. And when Jeremiah perceived it, he blamed them, saying, "The place shall be unknown till God gather together the congregation of the people and receive them to mercy." We read that in 2 Maccabees 2, verses 4 through 7. In the NT, St. John the Evangelist prophesied in Apocalypse 11, verse 19, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his testament was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings and voices and an earthquake and great hail." And I explain all of these signs, by the way, in my book, Fatima, The Signs and Secrets. But what immediately follows is Apocalypse 12, verse 1. "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." In the beginning of New Testament times, the Holy Ghost also hid the Virgin. And, as I said, she is the true Ark. Because as St. Louis de Montfort explained in regard to this hiding of the Virgin, Mary hardly appeared at all in the first coming of Jesus Christ, in order that men, as yet but little instructed and enlightened on the person of her Son, should not remove themselves from him in attaching themselves too strongly and too grossly to her. And soon afterward he stated, "But in the second coming of Jesus Christ, Mary has to be made known and revealed by the Holy Ghost in order that through her, Jesus Christ may be known, loved, and served. The reasons which moved the Holy Ghost to hide his spouse during her life and to reveal her but very little since the preaching of the gospel subsist no longer." Finally, we might also consider the end times prophecy of Dionysius of Luxembourg, who died in the year 1682 of our Lord. And he briefly described that after the birth of Antichrist, quote, the world will be very wicked and godless. People of real virtue will be very scarce. Pastors in many places will neglect the service of God. But then he wrote, quote, after Elias finds the Ark of the Covenant of the Jews, hidden until the recall of the Jews to God, he and Enoch will place the Blessed Sacrament upon it. The Jews will then realize that Jesus Christ, and not Antichrist, is the true Messiah. Thereafter, they will accept the Christian, meaning Catholic, faith. Finally, please allow me to share this reminder that you are invited to join me for more episodes of Signs and Secrets here on the Fatima Center channel. Until the next time, may God bless you, and may Our Lady Mary keep you and yours under her starry mantle. Salve, Regina.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We invite you to participate in the Fatima Center's 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge. Sign up and find out more at our website, fatima.org/100by100. And please help the Fatima Center accomplish its mission to make the full message of Our Lady of Fatima known, understood, loved, and obeyed by all. Support Our Lady's Apostolate with your prayers and a monthly donation. Make it part of your regular tithe, and also by sharing Fatima resources with others. All this can be found at our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. May God reward you. Saint Francisco and Saint Jacinta, pray for us. Lady of the Rosary, pray for us.